I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Eddie Garcia. We talk about his locations of Helados La Azteca and Lalo's Coffee and Pastry, the transformation of the intersection at Colcord and 15th Street, and the ways that his leadership style is continuing to evolve. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Yeah, man, appreciate it.
Give us a little idea about your background in Waco. What's your history in the area?
So my family and me moved to Waco when I was about 8 years old. We came from Los Angeles. I was born in LA, and I spent most of my life here, man. I went to Waco High. I graduated, went to MCC, man. I'm just a classic Wacoan, honestly.
What was your experience like in high school? Did you think that you were going to stick around Waco?
So, weird story. So when I was in LA, we moved here for about 4 years, and then I joined a seminary school. So a seminary school full of nothing but guys, you know, same routine every single day. So when I went to Waco High, it was a huge change for me, dude. I was used to like strict, you know, the whole day was based off of a schedule. So going to Waco High, you know, it's a different pace. It's a different school, dude. There's, you know, girls, guys, and it was just so weird for me, but man, I learned so much from it, and it really diversified who I am, honestly.
That seminary school experience, you were with a single gender,
exactly.
You know, all boys school, pretty strictly religious, I would imagine. Yeah, I would imagine that Waco High felt like the Wild West a little bit. Did you kind of get to Waco High and, you know, unbutton that top button and,
dude,
and let loose
literally,
a little bit?
I went up there with khakis, some dress shoes, a polo, my hair slicked to the side, and everybody was like, dude, who is this kid? What's wrong with him? They looked at me like I was a weird kid. But within a couple of weeks, you kind of get used to, like, or get in the rhythm of how it works, and, you know, everything goes to normal. But yeah, it was definitely something very, very different for me.
And I know that you are a proud child of immigrants. What was the story of your family prior to coming to the States?
So my family moved to the States a year before I was born. I'm very blessed. And in a way, I wish I was born in Mexico, but I see the struggles that they went through. And I'm very fortunate to be born in the United States. My older brother was actually born in Mexico. We're from a town in Jalisco, Mexico, called Mesticacan. Very small, probably a population of like 1,000 people. And we first migrated to, how I said, Los Angeles. And my dad worked like 2-3 jobs, dude. He was bussing tables. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. We were just that immigrant, you know, stereo family. And we were trying to, you know, find a way out.
Even though you ended up in Waco, which I'm sure afforded your family some stability that they probably didn't have in a more expensive place like Los Angeles, that hustle and that grit, the immigrant lifestyle, it seems to have translated even down to you.
Oh, definitely, dude. Definitely. Even before my father owned a location on Franklin, we always noticed how he worked those long hours. Sometimes we wouldn't see him during the day. And when we moved to Waco, we moved because of the ice cream shop on Franklin. That was the reason why we moved here. That was it was him, my dad, my uncles. They kind of got together, and that's how that one came to be. Eventually, they all spread out, and my dad stayed here. But man, since I was like 9, 10 years old, dude, I've been in that ice cream shop doing stuff, man. So it was kind of easy for me to kind of just follow in his footsteps, if you will.
So there's the Helados La Azteca location that's on Franklin Avenue. Franklin, and what, like 28th?
I think it's 30, like 33rd, something. Yeah, okay. Something like that.
And then you opened up a location within the last year or so at Colcord and 15th. This really wonderful development that I talk about here all the time, that Jimmy Dorrell and John Calloway and the Mission Waco folks have really championed this intersection. And bit by bit, incrementally, it has improved. And it takes other community holders to jump in the mix and to help improve these. And you've been able to do that with your two locations there. What have been the big differences between what you learned operating a lot of those on Franklin and what you're experiencing now over on Colcord?
So the one on Franklin was operated more by like my father. I was kind of like a shadow. So I never really got like the full idea of how to run a business till I moved to 15 in Colcord. But once I got there, I was already kind of familiar with how things worked. So it was very easy for me to kind of just move in and, you know, get the rhythm of things. But man, Jimmy Dorrell and John Calway have done so much for me, man. For them to allow like a 24-year-old kid to go in there and be like, dude, I have a dream. I want to put a coffee shop. I want to put an ice cream shop. And for them to be like, dude, you're going to do it. And it happened, dude. And I'm blessed. I'm forever blessed for them too. Dylan Meek as well. He was the real estate person at the time. And dude, I called him, told him my age. And he's like, dude, we're going to make it happen. And we did, dude. And it's crazy to me. It baffles me how like they believed so much in me without even knowing who I am. So yeah, man, I'm blessed.
What do you think it was about you or the pitch for your business or your personality that allowed them to feel confident enough that a 24-year-old could pull off something like not just opening one store, but opening two stores?
I mean, for the first location, I definitely think it had a lot to do with my dad. You know, the struggles he's gone through and the achievements that he's done on Franklin, for them to see the business and be like, dude, they'll do well here in 15 and Colcord. And then from there, they saw me doing well with the location, the Helados La Azteca. So when the coffee shop came to be, it's kind of like, dude, we don't even have to think about this. We know you're going to do well. And man, I'm happy they believed in me.
For listeners who have not been to that intersection and seen what it's like and noticed its transformation, what do you remember about that intersection when you were in high school? And what does it look like now? Let's say it's 9 a.m. and you're at Lalo's Coffee and Pastry working behind the sticks. What are you seeing outside? What's the vibe?
So it's a big change. And I know most of my North Waco people know that that part of town was not the prettiest. There used to be a liquor store over there. It wasn't a nice area. I said Mission Waco, Jimmy Dorrell, they initiated the change. And I came in and helped, how you said, the community came in and helped. And it's a whole different ballgame, man. You go in there and you can't even tell that it used to be what it used to be. We still try to like focus on the people that used to be there before us. We have a lot of homeless people that we try to take care of because at the end of the day, they were there before us. And there's no way we're going to come in there like a big institution and try to kick everybody out. I'm all about the community. I'm all about trying to help out the people around us. So we do what we can, and we're doing a big change over there, honestly. And it's not just us. I mean, there's Jubilee, Deez Mediterranean, Tropical Fish. Like, there's a lot of different businesses down there.
How do you, as a business owner, balance the empathy of wanting to help someone who's on hard times versus the realities of running a business, right? Like, if I give a free coffee and pastry to every single person who asks one, I'm not going to have much coffee or pastry to dish out. How do you balance those two things?
And I struggle with that. I do, because anybody who walks in there and I can tell that they're in need, there's no doubt in my mind that I'll give them whatever they need, coffee. I try not to give out money just for the cause of, you know, not knowing where it's going to end up. But if it's food, food's always there for them.
And at the World Cup Cafe, which is part of the Mission Waco organization, they have delicious, inexpensive food. I would imagine that there's a lot of unity between all of the property owners there or the restaurant owners there, and you're kind of trying to do what you can in your own individual way to support the community.
There's definitely a connection on 15 and Colcord. People can either go to Deez and then have a snack at Helados or get a coffee and then go to World Cup. But we have a lot of traffic that goes there, and they don't only go to Helados. They go to Helados and they go to World Cup, or they go to World Cup and they go to Deez, or you know, we kind of made a connection down there where people feel like it's a small little community down there.
So you've got Mediterranean food at Deez. You've got ice cream at Helados. You've got coffees and pastries at Lalo's. You've got kind of American food at the World Cup Cafe. The North Waco Tropical Fish store is awesome. I featured them on Downtown Depot on the Small Business Spotlight a few months ago. I love what Samantha and her family does and the history that they have there. But this is a pretty unique tenant mix. There's a lot of different businesses, people from different backgrounds that are here. Mexican, Greek, plain old Texan. What do you think is something that might be a good addition for what you guys are already cooking up there? Because I know that in the building that you're in, there is more space, right? that they finished out or they're in the process of finishing out?
So I think that last space they're going to leave as parking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think as far as tenants, I think we're stocked unless like Mission Waco does something else down there.
But even a little bit further up Colcord, there's a couple buildings that would be a beautiful development project for somebody. I'm sure that because there's been a focus on this corner, there are more people looking at it commercially than ever have been before. But yeah, like when you think about any gaps that are there with your community, can you think of like a type of thing that maybe the community would need that would work over there?
I'm personally a huge fan of Devin Lee and Waco Cha, and I'd love to see a Waco Cha down there. I mean, he's so diverse. He's so much about the community, and I'm a great friend of his, and I feel like just having us three, Mission Waco and D's and North, like all those businesses down there, dude, we could attract so many people. So like diverse people is what we're focused on.
How do you stay up to date with diversity initiatives or learning how to be an empathetic manager or boss? Are there podcasts that you listen to, or are there any books about management or working with people that you've read that you think would be helpful?
Devin Lee and Andres Salumis. He's the owner of Thirst Coffee, and then Devin from Waco Cha. We just started doing like a owner meeting, like a team meeting, I guess, between us three, and just listening to them to talk about how they think and how they run their businesses, man, enlightens me so much, dude. Because how I said, I'm still young. They've been in this a little longer than me, so just listening to them talk helps me out so much. They impact me more than they think.
What's one thing that you've learned from either Andreas Salumis or Devin Lee that you've implemented at Lala's?
Diversity. If you go to our Franklin location, my dad is very old school. So you go in there and it's almost nothing but Hispanics in there. One thing that I'm so focused on this other location is, you know, everybody feels welcomed. And I've learned that from Devin. Devin has instilled that in me. And yeah, man, I just feel like diversity has a lot to do with what we do there.
It seems to make all the sense in the world. Like, why would you not try to intentionally make your customer base as wide and as all-embracing as possible? Mm-hmm. Everyone has money for a $2 coffee.
Exactly.
Everyone has money for a concha if they want it. You want to let all these people know that they are welcome, and you don't have to be a Spanish speaker to come in and be able to read the menu.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like a lot of like older school, like older people, especially like older business owners, are content with like the crowd that they have. So they don't want to seek out to gain more like diverse people, I guess you can say. So I know that's how my dad is for sure. Like he's not, how can I say this? He's just very focused on like his Hispanic community. And that's, I mean, I have no problem with that, right? But I feel like there's just so much to Waco than just Hispanics, honestly. But I'm also helping him and like, you know, heading in the direction that I'm heading, because he serves great product just like we do. We serve the same product, so it's amazing stuff. And he's been there for 10 years, and we have people to go to my location and they're like, wait, you've been there for 10 years at 33 in Franklin? I'm like, yeah. And it hurts me to like hear that. I feel like everybody should know about it by now. I mean, it's been 10 years, so yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of tucked away in that shopping center a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the issues with the design of a lot of these older shopping centers is that the parking is all in the front. So it's like if you're driving by on Franklin Avenue, you've got 300 feet of parking and then you can see the stores over there. It's not as if the store was built up to the street level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a walkable environment. So I get it. I've been in there because I went by a few years ago and was trying to buy a freezer off of your dad for Pokios back when I was doing that with Julia. And I just remember him being a really kind and gracious person who was willing to let me go back. He's like, hey, you know, we got all these freezers. Come back, check them out. And then I got a paleta. Is that a popsicle?
Paletas.
Yeah, man. Some delicious like mango popsicle with some hot seasoning on it. Unlike anything that I had ever had, but that was just incredible stuff. We are joined in studio today by Eddie Garcia. Eddie is the owner of Heladas La Azteca and Lalo's Coffee and Pastry at the Colcord and 15th intersection here in Waco. The Lalo's experiment has truly been yours, and I know Andreas was instrumental in helping you with it, but A lot of this La Azteca was something that you kind of piggybacked off of from Dad. Lalo's is all you, man. What was that thought process like going into something that you knew was going to have your stamp on it?
I feel like Waco is always missing something like Lalo's. We have plenty of coffee shops here in town, but I feel like there was really no Hispanic coffee shop. You know, you walk in there and it's not your ordinary coffee shop. We have a lot of different drinks, and the atmosphere inside just changes everything about the coffee shop. But ever since I was little, I feel like a coffee shop was always something I wanted. And Lalo's was obviously always there, and I knew how to do it, so it was very easy for me to get in there and just do it. But Lalo's was just always like a dream of mine to have a coffee shop.
How does that conversation start? So you talk to Dylan Meek, say, I want to put it in a coffee shop. He's like, okay, fine, but now go find money, come up with a menu, find your ingredients. How did you work through all that stuff?
So initially, I have a cousin in Puerto Vallarta, and he owns Cafe Providencia. And so it was also, it was me going down to Vallarta 1 week and him showing me around. And I was like, dude, this is dope. Like, this is really cool what you have going on here. Within like 2 weeks, he taught me how to do things. He taught me how to run the coffee. And we came back to Waco. I talked to, at the time, Dylan Meek was already, I think he was already in run to be mayor, or he was already mayor at the time. So I really talked to John Calloway, and within 2 weeks, we got paper signed. After that, I reached out to Andres right away. I was like, dude, this is my idea. This is what I want to do. And he literally took me by the hand and freaking like led me through the process of how to run a coffee shop. Because at the time, how I said, I didn't know anything, dude. I knew very little about coffee. So he definitely had a huge role in Lalo's Coffee.
What was something that surprised you that you hadn't thought of before you entered into this? Like, maybe it was, I had no idea how expensive dough is, or I didn't realize that there's so many different ways that you can roast beans. I had never thought about how long they stay on the grinder, you know, things like that.
I mean, it's definitely the price of an espresso machine.
Really?
Those are very, very pricey, man. I had no idea. I initially came in with like a certain amount of capital, and it like doubled within like the first month.
So what do you got, what, like $5,000, $10,000?
For an espresso machine?
Yeah.
At least, yeah, $10,000.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. That depends also. I mean, use the brand. It depends on a lot of things, but it definitely, you know, shot me off guard. But it also astounded me how it's very simple, dude. Coffee, the latte, the macchiato, everything is just a small change between each drink. And that also surprised me. I thought it was a little more complicated than that, but it's very simple.
And having a simple process allows you to train multiple people and have lots of folks who are confident behind the sticks. They can run that espresso machine and you can provide better service because it's not a complex thing. Just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's easy, right?
Exactly.
Simple means that it is not complex. There's not a lot of steps to it.
Exactly.
But you soon come to realize that just because the process is simple, that makes it even more important that the other facets of it make sense. And the other facets of it, like the customer service part, the branding part, the cups that you have, the artwork that's on the outside of the building, all of those are what are going to play into this very seemingly simple experience.
Yeah, that's also something very different from Helados, because at Helados, you're either cutting fruit, we're making popsicles, we're making ice cream, we're making aguas frescas. There's always something that you have to do before the day starts. At Lalo's, you get in there, turn on the espresso machine, turn on the grinder, and you're good to go. But yeah, man, I'm happy.
What are the highlights of the menu at Lalo's?
So our Café de Olla has definitely been one of our top favorites. It was a drink that a lot of Hispanics know. It's a very simple, just unprocessed brown sugar, more like piloncillo and canela, which is cinnamon. But we have a variety of drinks like that are just, you can't really find at any other coffee shop.
Have you had people come into the coffee shop and say, wow, I didn't realize that a Mexican coffee shop or a Hispanic-focused coffee shop would be as different as these other coffee shops that I have? Like, do people notice the things that make your coffee shop unique?
We definitely get a lot of questions. We definitely got a lot of mispronunciations, but that's what's so like different about our coffee shop, you know?
So what are some of the common things that people trip up on?
Café de Olla. You're supposed to say, in Spanish, two L's is olla. So Café de Olla, we have people who go in there and they say
Café de Olla.
Yeah, Café de Olla. And I'm like, I'll get Chick-fil-A right away. I'm not the person to correct people, but I think we should start so people can start like understanding what it is. Because olla means pot in Spanish, and that traditionally it's supposed to be cooked in like a, it's called jarro, and it's supposed to be like a pot like that, and it just gives it a different flavor.
Because it's cooked in a pot, it has a different flavor.
Exactly,
totally.
Exactly. And then just the ingredients, dude. It's not your stereo like brown sugar.
What else? So you're not just doing coffee though, you're also doing pastry.
Correct. But pastries we don't make in-house. We get them from Jimenez Bakery. Okay. I think they're on 25th or 18th, one of those two. They've been around town for a very, very long time as well. Also Hispanic-owned. And yeah, they've been very nice to us. And we go in there every morning and get 50 to 100 pieces of bread.
Do they have to bake that for you specifically? Like you now have orders that they come through?
Jimenez is, dude, they have unlimited bread. You go in there and... On Sundays, I don't even recommend you going in there, man. It's so packed in there. But they just have, it's like, I'd say at least 10 big cabinets full of bread. So I go in there, get my 50 to 100, and next person goes in there and does the same thing.
Being a small business owner gives you a certain level of credibility in the community, and especially a connection with other small business owners that maybe you have never met before, but they know that you're the Lalo's guy, and so there's some sort of commonality between the two of them. The example of the Jimenez Bakery is great in that you probably had no real connection with them other than occasionally going there and picking up tortilla or whatever it might be. And now you have become a valued customer of theirs, and not just a valued customer, but someone who has become a raving fan to the point that you are on National Public Radio talking about Jimenez Bakery, and you're able to use this platform to promote and to inspire other people in your community and to connect that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like we can all help each other out a lot, especially as a local business. I try to do what I can to help out other local businesses around town. Either it be a collab on Instagram, or we'll give out 20 free paletas over here, 100 free paletas over there. But I feel like that's what makes us so unique in Waco, that we're small enough to where we all know each other, but we're big enough to where, man, there's so many businesses here in Waco.
On the Lalo's Instagram page, I noticed that you've been going through a series highlighting your employees and really trying to make them visible to your fan base, which is large and it's been growing ever since you opened. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on that. You're clearly doing something right on social media. What is it about the like social media itself and its ability to promote? What is it about social media that made you want to focus on the employees and make sure the community knows them rather than just showing pictures of coffee or pastries?
When you go in there, you most likely won't see me. You most likely will see one of the people that I put, one of my team members on there. So I feel like they should get to know who's behind the bar making their espresso, making their drink. And not only that, dude, they're the reason why Lalo's is doing well. I'm helping them get to where they need to be. But at the end of the day, dude, it's the team, dude. It's not just me. It's us. You know what I'm saying?
And you mentioned that Devin and Andreas have helped you learn about putting your employees first, how to build community. How would you describe your style as a manager?
I'm definitely still learning, but I definitely do value every single one of my employees the most. A lot of like locally owned businesses, I feel like, should focus more on the employee than, I guess, just running the business. And you got to find like the median between like running the business and taking care of who's in there actually doing this stuff. You know what I'm saying? But Devin and Andreas have definitely helped me become a better leader, telling me how to address employees, what to expect from employees, how to be straightforward with employees. And that's something that at the time I wasn't too familiar with. I didn't know how to, you know, really lead, honestly. So they definitely helped me become a better leader.
If we have people listening to this show who want to be a leader like you and take some pages out of their playbook, what are some easy suggestions that we could give people to implement in their own lives?
Definitely get to talk to Devin Lee. Devin Lee is, I can't stress enough how he's helped me to. There's things that he just thinks about that he tells me as a business, and it's from business owner to business owner. And there's things that he just tells me that I just don't see. I just don't see. So,
but because you've been training with Devin, you've been learning from him, you're probably starting to see some of this stuff now yourself.
Correct. Correct.
And as you continue growing, you're going to be able to see more of this, and eventually you'll be able to pass that knowledge on to your employees or other young people who.
Definitely. I think what I was raised on doing is just showing by example. So I go in there and I work my butt off. You know, I'm not the business owner that just lets people run it. I like being there and doing what I can.
What is a day in the life at Lalo's for you?
So it's Lalo's, it's both, dude. So Lalo's is normally very easy. Normally head to Jimenez about 9 a.m, get about how I said 50 to 100 pieces of bread, and then it's a Lalo's. The rest of the day is based on a Lalo's, whether it be making ice cream, making popsicles, running errands, getting fruit from HEB when we run out. But a Lalo's definitely takes up more of my time.
We have a lot of great Mexican-owned businesses in Waco. A lot of those La Azteca and Lalo's Coffee and Pastry being two of them. This week is when Mexicans celebrate Cinco de Mayo. What does that holiday mean for you? How do your family and you traditionally celebrate that? And is there anything special that's going to be happening at the spots?
Well, we're hoping on doing like a giveaway, maybe like free popsicles tomorrow. We're still thinking about what to do, but I feel like people interpret Cinco de Mayo. I feel like they think it's, oh, tacos party. And that's not what it is, man. To me, it's more important. You know, it means the independence of Mexico. So that's something very big for a lot of Hispanics. And a lot of Hispanics can't really celebrate it because it lands on a Wednesday. And if you're a Hispanic, you're probably working on a Wednesday, which I will be too. So, I mean, yeah.
What are there traditional ways to celebrate Cinco de Mayo? Like, we typically do fireworks and barbecue for 4th of July here in the States.
Not personally in my family. How I said, Cinco de Mayo is very important to us, but at the same time, it's another day for us. We still have to work, you know?
That's the story of life, isn't it?
Really?
Eddie Garcia is the owner of Lalo's Coffee and Pastry and of Heladas La Azteca there at Colcord and 15th. Thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot and sharing your story.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me, man.
Thanks again to Eddie Garcia of Lalo's Coffee and Pastry and Heladas La Azteca for joining me this week on Downtown Depot. It was particularly fun to have a Mexican business owner on the week that we celebrate Cinco de Mayo. I would encourage everyone, go learn about that holiday and understand what this Independence Day really means for our Mexican brothers and sisters. I'll be back here on Friday, May 21st with an all-new episode of Downtown Depot, but find me on Instagram and Facebook in between episodes at Waco Business News to stay up to date with what's happening in your community. I'm Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.